Hey, everybody. I just want to mention the new live podcasting and networking event that Not Boring Business is launching. Very excited about this. We have one December 13th in Los Angeles, Culver City area. Come by, check it out. Free drinks while it lasts. This is going to be amazing. The conversation after the podcasting is even more amazing than the actual podcasting. I hope to see you there. Come say hi. Amazing opportunity. Now, I'm your host, Jeremy Redman. This is not Suits and Handshakes Business. This is Not Boring Business. Let's go. Yep. We have Scheherazade. What's your last name?
Daftary? Yeah.
Okay, for some reason I had no idea what it was. Okay, we've got Scheherazade Daftary with us. So glad to have you.
Thank you for having me, Jeremy. I'm excited to be here.
Perfect. This is exciting. Okay, so like give the Not Boring Nation a little bit of your background story and how we met.
So Jeremy and I met actually in this very office. It looked very different.
That's fun. Yeah, right.
Like a couple years ago. One of my careers in my life has been in corporate finance. I'm an MBA. I have an accounting degree, and I've worked in corporate finance for 12 years. And so I was here working with Jeremy, who also has a bit of an accounting background, doing some books for a little company that was in this building. And so we met working together, doing other stuff than what we're doing now,
right.
Which is great.
A little more adventurous stuff.
Yeah, more adventurous, more exciting, more passionate. Less boring, right?
Less boring. That's the theme. That's the theme today. So we'll stick on the not boring
Yeah,
theme.
Exactly. I love it.
Okay, so you're from the Midwest because we're both from the Midwest.
Actually, I'm from the South.
Oh, Louisiana.
Yes, right, which okay. Is sort of, it's right below, I think, where close to where you're from.
It's the Emeril guy. Like,
yes.
Emir, what's his name?
Emeril Lagasse is
no,
from.
No. Like the, you know, the little chef?
Oh, yeah.
You're the feet.
Yes, yeah, yes, right. Yes. The boot and the chef.
Yeah,
yes.
Right.
I don't know if anybody else knows
what
that.
Is his name?
I didn't know that he had a name. Are you serious?
Yeah. It's like Emery or something.
Oh, I had no idea.
I forget what it is.
Is it an acronym? Does it have each of the states?
Yes, I think it does.
Oh.
Like South Dakota, North Dakota.
No, it's going to be Arkansas, Louisiana, Missouri.
Yeah.
So.
What's the hat, though?
And Iowa? It's Illinois?
No. No.
Missouri. I mean, Illinois is above Missouri.
Oh, he's got to be a part of it then.
So maybe it's like. I don't know. You could spell, is that
M-A-I-L?
It could be male.
Male. I think it's something like that, though. Okay, so that's good. All right, so you started in Louisiana.
Yeah, so I grew up in Louisiana, and so a lot of that influences my food background. What I do now is I write a cooking blog. It focuses on sustainable and ecological cooking. That also happens to be plant-based, and it also happens to be really healthy. Because one of the things I've learned in this journey with food and getting a CSA, which I'll explain in a minute, is that the more healthy or the more close to nature and the more honoring of nature and the more ecologically I eat, the healthier it actually is. And it makes sense if you think about it because we are of nature, we come from nature, and so if we're in harmony with it, it's better for us.
Sure.
So a CSA is community supported agriculture, and what that means is that I get a share of what a farm produces, and they give me a box every week of fresh fruits and veggies that come from their farm. So it's very seasonal, it just depends on what they have, what my farmers are growing. I have a really good relationship with my farmers. We're friends. And so they've even taken requests of things to plant for seasons.
Are these urban farmers?
Yeah, they're in Pomona. And it's in their farm is in the middle of a residential neighborhood. So it's definitely urban. It's not in the middle of Los Angeles, but it's in
That's what I'm
Pomona.
Picturing. I'm picturing just people growing things out of like apartment buildings.
Well, they could. There are people in LA doing stuff like that out of shipping containers and stuff.
Right.
But these guys are doing it in a residential lot.
Okay, got you.
So like, and it's more of a traditional farm format. They also have a house called the Growing Home, which is a model learning place that's their home. But what they did is they took this, you know, they call it xeriscaping, I think, when it's like a desert landscape format where they do a lot of cactuses and rocks and things. They took that and they completely redid their landscaping and made it this fruit forest jungle.
And
it's amazing. I mean, it's from the street walking onto their property, the temperature drops like at least 5 degrees. It's cool. The air is moist. It smells like a forest and it looks like one. And everything, almost everything there is edible or medicinal or has some sort of use. So it's really great. They have chickens and rabbits, and it's just this really, you know, very nice house in a nice suburb in Diamond Bar.
In the back?
Yeah, just all around. Like every shred of land that it doesn't have house on it is growing something amazing. So it's really cool. It's a cool place. They're cool people.
How long has this been around?
I think the farm itself, the one in Pomona, that's more traditional with like rows of crops that get, you know, they turn and put new crops in every year. They have a nursery there. They have a training program to teach people how to farm. That has been around for about 4 years. And I believe maybe the house was done a couple years before that. So okay, under cool. 10 years, I believe, for the whole project.
Okay, so let's back up here a little bit. How did you navigate from like a financial career to a lot of the stuff you're doing with like food and your food blog and a lot of things like that?
Okay, so the reason I've always cooked and it's always been fun for me and I've always entertained people, like this is just a part of my upbringing and background. My dad's Iranian and my mom's family's from Spain. And so every holiday, every, you know, family get together were these big meals that were cooked by everybody, all the family members, right? Sometimes it'd be one person hosted and made it. Sometimes it was like a potluck situation. But the idea of like going out to eat wasn't something we did very often. Like going out to eat was something we did on other kinds of special occasions, or if my mom just was tired of cooking. But we didn't eat outside the home a whole lot growing up. So I just assumed that I would learn to cook. Otherwise, how would I cook Christmas dinner? How would I, you know, feed myself during the week? And where was I going to get all these different kinds of cuisines in one place? I live in Los Angeles now, so I really could like get anything I wanted at any time. But there's something different about like home cooked food for me. So I just knew I was going to cook. I learned to cook. I learned it by trial and error. I watched my mom. I baked a lot at first because she didn't bake. And so I would bake and we'd kind of like do that as a tag team where I'd make the dessert and she'd make the dinner. And then, you know, I moved away for college and then I started cooking for myself and then cooking for my friends. And so it just kind of built from there, of the cooking part. And so it's just something I've always done and I always took for granted. But and in undergrad, actually, I went to art school, so I have a fine art background. I have like a BFA essentially.
I was just gonna ask, so like, why not put all your cards into food and go to like culinary school?
Well, at the time, my whole life has taken this very interesting meandering path. I wanted to like do something to help people, and I didn't see food as that path. Like, this is, you know, I'm a little bit older than you, so this is a long time ago before celebrity chefs and stuff like
not
that.
Not that much older.
Yeah, but enough to where so much has happened in the industry in the space of food that, you know, it's such a different landscape now than it was when I was in college. Like, there weren't really celebrity chefs. There wasn't all that stuff happening. There wasn't all that TV and whatnot. In art school, I had a project that I was working on that I was going to do where it was going to be a meal and everything was going to be food that looked like – I was going to call it shit and blood. And it was going to be this like really gruesome around Halloween. It was going to be gruesome and everything was going to look like either, you know, some kind of body fluids or body parts on the plate. But it was all going to be super delicious. So that was my idea. And I started sketching it out. But then I just never opted for a ceramics project instead.
Do you think people could like overcome the fact that like the mental hurdle?
Well, no, that was going to be part of the fun of it. It was going to be an experience and we were going to take photos and videotape it. And this is before all of this was so easy, too. And
sure.
I think that was like all the layers of documentation were so daunting to me at that time that I was like, never mind. I was just ahead of my time, basically.
Yeah, you were.
You know,
so. Good on you.
I know. So it's always been like the idea of like art and food has always been there, but it's just, you know, I didn't have it put together in my head at that time.
Yeah.
And so I worked for nonprofits for a while because I wanted to make the world a better place. And then I went and got my MBA to help nonprofits. And then I fell in love with accounting, which I know sounds weird to some
people. Yeah, that's one thing that is very interesting to me. Obviously, you know my accounting background as well.
Yeah.
And like it was just like more or less some form of like legal torture. For me.
Oh, really?
Right?
Oh, like, I liked it. I loved the T-charts. I liked like, everything.
I love,
there was a
Excel.
Right answer.
Like, Excel is, like,
yeah,
one of the
I love Excel
stuff that you can possibly do. Like, there's little things that I like about it.
Yeah.
Like, the connection piece, was it, like, to people or clients? Like, client service was cool.
Yeah.
But the nitty-gritty of it.
Yeah, I did. For me, it was the repetitive and the mundane and the repetitive aspect of it. But I really liked the numbers. I liked that there, because up until that point, nothing I had done was there a right answer, right? Nonprofit and human and social services, there's very few right answers. In art, there's no right answer. So, you know, it's like, it's all very, it's not, human and social services isn't subjective, but it's just like not black and white. Here's your answer. Now we get to execute on it. Then we get a result. Boom, it's done.
Right.
It's like way more complicated. And then art is just very subjective. So, you know, accounting was like almost like a relief. I was like, oh, wow, you can just like do something and have a right answer and have a result. And it's just great. So, and also back in my mind, I really always wanted to be an entrepreneur or run my own business. I had this vision of myself like running a business ever since I was little.
Yeah.
I just didn't know what it was going to look like. And I still didn't have an idea. But I knew that from being in business school that accounting was a really important piece of it, but it's also very technical and it was going to be a bit of a learning curve to get to a place where I felt really comfortable with the numbers. So I wanted to do that for a while. But then I kind of got sucked into like corporate finance, which pays really well, and I was good at it. And the fact that I have like some soft skills as well, right, and I have a creative mind, like gave me an edge, and it made me really good at that job. And so I kept, you know, getting promoted and whatnot. And so I stayed in it for longer than I ever anticipated staying. And then I got an opportunity to consult, and that gave me the freedom and the time to really explore what I wanted to do. And what I kept coming back to every time I had these like gaps between clients was cooking. So I'd just throw these really over the top, lavish brunches, lunches, dinners for my friends, and they'd come over. There was enough food for 1,000 people. It was all beautiful. I laid it out. I pulled out the good china. I just had so much fun.
Yeah.
And friends would take pictures. This one friend came over for a ridiculous brunch. Like, I made so much food, but I just wanted to try like all these recipes. And I did it, and I made it, and it was this gorgeous foodscape for me and this one other woman. And she was like, who's this for? And I'm like, us? It's so much food. Huh. But she took lots of pictures of it and posted on Instagram, and she's like, your stuff is beautiful. This is so cool. Like, you should share it with more people. And I saw the photos, and I was like, you know what? She's right, and maybe I'll do that and see what comes of it. Maybe I'll take the pictures and see what comes. So I started taking pictures of the farm box. So then I started getting a farm box.
What is farm box?
The CSA, sorry. Okay. It's the vegetables once a week.
Got you.
So I started getting that, and I thought I'd, you know, put together a pretty still life with the vegetables and take a picture, and then I would take pictures of what I made with it, and then it would be like a bit of a narrative as well. So I started doing that, and it was going, and I liked it, and it was fun, and like the few people that followed me on Instagram were like, oh, how did you make that, and this and that. And it was really fun to engage with people around food, you know, outside of my own little kitchen. And also at that time I was married, and then I got a divorce because my husband was cheating on me.
Perfect.
I know.
Perfect.
So it was actually a blessing. I definitely needed to be out of there, and that was probably the only thing that was going to make me go. So thanks, guy.
Thank you. Thank you, guy. Ex-husband. So I want to talk about like, okay, so you were trying to do a bunch of things, and I feel like, because this is the first time I've heard of like the story, your story crafted in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds so similar to mine, where I thought like that I was going into accounting. My mindset in college was all these other skills. Like, I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur more than anything in this world. And I felt like, oh, that's some finance stuff. Marketing, I know it. That's like intuition. And I was kind of telling myself that. And business management, like, I'm an amazing manager, right? Like, that's how I feel about myself. Like, I'm very confident in my ability to manage either a project or delegate to people. And then I thought, but the one skill that I need to learn is like accounting, right? It's something that you need to sit there and learn. And then I even believed that my soft skills were way better than my peers in college. So like, that gave me an edge, right? Like, I always felt that way. And I think that the universe, and I'm not getting religious or political or anything else like that, but like,
it's LA. You can talk about the universe. It's okay.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's why I love it.
If you want to talk about astrology in a minute, I'll go there with you too. It's all good.
We're going to have to do an episode on psychics and why I believe on that in a second. So like, and I believe the universe will pull you to what you need to be doing. If it's me getting fired from every other job I've ever had, and then I course correct and go back, it's like, then I start a business and it's like it struggles, and then it kind of takes off, and then it goes back, and I'm like, oh my God, but this is what I feel I've meant to do. Like I'm meant to do. And it sounds like you with your cooking and kind of not getting lost, but enjoying accounting for a little while and then getting your MBA and deploying more assets toward that. So you're like, do you believe in that, right? Like where you're meant to do something and it will eventually find you if you work your ass
off. I do. And I think that I've collected a lot of really amazing experiences along the way and a lot of like knowledge and skills. And I don't know people, you know, I don't think if I had to go back, I would do it any other way. Like I really like where I'm at right now. I really feel confident about all the skills I've collected over time that have led me here. I mean, honestly, my art background makes the photographs that I take on my blog really high quality, and that's something that I don't have to pay someone else to do, and I enjoy it, and I can do that any day of the week. I can take a really nice photo of a piece of food, and that's great. And then, you know, the business stuff comes into play. Like nonprofit stuff was great because it was a crash course in business management. Like you said, I got to practice running a business, asking for money, fundraising, all of that. And so all of these things have gotten me to the point where I am now, where I feel really primed and ready. And now that I have an idea and a concept of a business I want to run, I feel incredibly prepared. It is still scary as shit. Mm-hmm. I still freak out like a lot more than people give me credit for. They're like, you have it so together. I'm like, oh, really? Really?
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
I have a good mask.
You just clearly don't see like the little panic attacks.
Yeah,
I have.
Right. Like I have a routine on my way home from work where I just like, I think routinely tear up.
Yeah,
like, I just go, oh, this song. Like, I'm so emotional now. You know what I mean? I'm like a fucking basket case.
Well, it's like being a parent in a way. It's like giving birth to something that's like, I mean, it's important. It's a piece of me. And I'm sure, feel like our Air 5 is a piece of you. And it's like, it's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that goes into creating something and a lot of struggle. And so it's very emotional. And I think that's part of what, if it wasn't emotional and I didn't give a crap, then why should anybody else, you know? And I think that being passionate and being emotional and being excited and all those things comes across. So the business model that I have now is teaching cooking classes, because I kind of looked down a lot of paths of how I was going to turn food blogging or cooking blogging into some kind of profession or job. So I took a lot of jobs catering to see if I wanted to do that. I thought about just turning it into a entertainment kind of thing where it was like a lifestyle brand. I looked into just, you know, the kind of website where it makes all of its money from generating traffic. And then I taught some classes at my friend's cooking school. And that was the one that really stuck with me. I really enjoyed teaching. I really enjoyed being in front of people. I really enjoyed sharing my knowledge in that way. And I liked the business of it. I liked, you know, that kind of like the way the revenue gets generated, the way the costs are. It's the kind of work that I enjoy doing.
Right.
And, you know, traffic and click-throughs and affiliate revenue is way less exciting to me. So I just, you know, and I researched all these options. So I knew that just running a website and getting traffic was an option. But it just wasn't the one that made my toes tingle. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and it
absolutely has
to make my toes tingle, right, or I won't really do it, right? Because it's like, I already have a really well-paying job and a career in finance, and then my next move, I want it to be something that I get really excited about, you know? It's going to pay my bills, but it's also going to be
like,
exciting.
Is it just entertainment finance that you do?
Yeah, that's my specialty. Okay. So I've done it for so long that it's kind of, that's what I've done. I've stepped out a couple times to do other industries, but it's more work because now I have to learn a whole new industry, and because I don't want to continue this career path, like my motivation to learn a new industry is like pretty low. So at this point, it's like this, I'm on autopilot. I walk into an entertainment place, like, you know, if I need to take another consulting gig to incubate and finance my new business, which I do, that's how I'm basically bootstrapping this whole thing. You know, I do entertainment because it's easy for me and I'm good at it and I add a lot of value in that way. So
do
it's
you work
like
independent, like studios, or is it like, it's a producers or like people?
No,
or
like companies. So I do corporate finance. So if they don't have a lot, it's like a certain number of transactions, then I become useful to them. So if they don't have like a certain, like at least 30 major pieces of work or something like that. It's a volume of transactions, and I do like a lot of system stuff.
Gotcha. Okay.
So anyway, that's cool. My boring old life.
The boring old life, and now we're transitioning into the perfect life where you're starting your own.
When you
flute.
Play this back, you're going to hear the tone of my voice change and the energy levels change.
Yeah, we'll have to like actually segment that out. Like I.
Oh no, it'll come across because everybody tells me they're like your whole body language changes when you talk about finance, and then when you talk about your like cooking stuff, you're like. Your shoulders roll back, your eyes open up, you're like so much happier talking about it. I'm like, yeah, God. I know. That's why I like this. This is happening, man.
Right.
I'm excited about it.
I mean, I think it shows. And I think a lot of people, I'm trying to get your view on here, like I'm just like moving this camera around going like, oh my God. Sure. Like the body language is different.
Yeah.
Like as you talk about like the finance and like the entertainment path, you talk about it, but at the same time, like, what joy, right, to have you have found.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, I think that speaks volumes, and now that you're actually deploying a shit ton of energy toward it, I think it just feels divine, right? Like, when you have that peace. So, like...
I don't know if it feels divine, because it's a lot of hard work. And divine, my concept of divine is that, like, it's somehow handed to me from, like, some... white being on a cloud. I don't know. It's divine. I'm like, maybe it feels divine in that everything has sort of led to this point, but it...
Sure, that's what I mean by divine. So take it what you will.
I'm like, divine right is when you're born and you get to be a king and you did nothing to earn it.
That's true. All right. So universal.
There, like yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So talk about like the physical location. You're doing the cooking classes now.
Yeah. So I'm doing them in Silver Lake out of King's Roost, which is a urban homesteading DIY store. And there's
and
a little
Silver Lake
in
for everyone outside of California is...
It's a neighborhood in Los Angeles. It's on the eastern side
of LA.
It's like
LA's a collection
it's kind
of
like above north-ish of downtown LA.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. It's like if I ride down the street from my house, I bump into LA, downtown LA.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of like where I tell people I live kind of like north of LA. It's not exactly downtown LA, but more or less.
Perfect.
If you need a reference
point. A reference point. Yeah. LA is just this collection of like little cities, I feel.
It is. I mean, it's huge. It's huge. So you need it needs to be a collection of little cities.
Yeah, I think it, like at one point, like what, NoHo was its own city and now it's like a part of like LA.
Oh, really? I didn't realize it was...
Now it's a neighborhood.
Oh, interesting. So they disbanded...
According to Wikipedia, anyway.
Oh.
So...
It's a lot of extra work to be your whole other city. Silver Lake is just a neighborhood. We have a neighborhood council, and they're pretty active. But
are you active in your neighborhood council?
Yeah, I know a lot of the people that are on it, and I like participate in the elections.
So how the fuck do you find any time for like anything? Like, you do your finance, you do your cooking. Now you're deploying way more energy toward the cooking, which I'm a fan of because it seems like it's making you completely happy.
Yes,
but you're also an advocate in your neighborhood council.
Yeah, so I do have this vision for this synergy in my life, and as I move towards building this business, the being a member of my community is an important part of that because that's, you know, those are the people that would otherwise maybe be clients and customers,
oh,
right?
Oh, sure, right, yeah.
So, and also I think as a local small business, it behooves me to be engaged and involved in, you know, local... I know. Why does that word so funny to you? I heard you laugh at somebody else said
funny.
It.
Behooves. Like, I love it. Thanks for bringing that in.
Yeah. I was like, I know. I heard you laugh the other time somebody said it, and I was like, I'm totally going to say it, because it's in my repertoire. Like, I use behoove.
Sure, right. Use it to your advantage to make me laugh.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the things I really like about being a small business and an entrepreneur and being a locally based business rather than like a web presence business is community is super important to me. And that's one of the things that is a cornerstone of what my brand is and what I want to build with my classes is I want to build a sense of community. I want to connect people to their food, to where it's grown, to how it tastes, to the people around them. My classes are very engaging. I get people to talk to each other, to talk to me, to share. It's not just instructional where you go in and you learn how to do something and you leave. Like at the end of my classes, people hug me and they almost linger and they don't want to leave. And that to me is like so heartwarming and it's the best feedback I could possibly get. It's like they want to stay and hang out. And I'm like, oh, that's sweet, but I have to clean up.
Right.
But yeah, and that's what I want to engender and like create more of in the world and in my own community. And because the business is local and geographically, you know, located – it's, you know, being a part of a community is a part of that, right? So I'm getting friendly with the people that are in the store that I work in, and they have other businesses, and we're noticing that there's synergies between us and things like that. And so, like, being involved, community is part of being a human being, and I think the more we embrace it and, you know, lean into it, like, there's a lot of rewards and benefits to reap from that.
I absolutely agree. And I think you're touching on something that's, like, very near and dear, which is, like, community. I know. Networking, which is community. And, like, almost like it, like, you're finding your niche, right? It doesn't have to be where you're going to be a multimillionaire and you have to scale some huge company, right? Yeah. Like, across the country or across the world. It's about, like, finding your community, and if you find that community and you can service them better than anyone else can, you can make a very good living, like, living your passion. And I think you're finding, like, I'm almost like a, it's like micro marketing in your neighborhood.
Yeah. Right?
Like, oh, I love that. I think not a lot of people do that anymore. Right?
Really?
Like, get involved with their neighborhood community and, like, market that way. Like, you're also doing good. Right? Like, and through that value that you're giving, then they buy your products and they come to your things because they're like, oh, she's the thought leader on this and she's done so much. It's like...
And I care. I think that
guilt
comes
marketing. You know what I mean? You've given
so... I don't want people to come because they're guilty.
No, but that's what it is, right? Like, you give so much value up front. Like, you do nothing but help constantly. And then they go, oh, she came out with this book. I feel like I gotta buy this book. She's given me so much. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's a really great thing that you've seen and I've now put context to.
Yeah, I like it. That's an interesting... I had never thought about it that way, but it's good to think about it that way.
Yeah. Okay, so where do you go from here?
From here, I'm just thinking of, I'm just scaling the business. I want to have up to 16 students in my classes.
Okay.
I have a whole bunch of other classes that I'm developing to come out. I have... One more. Right now I have two classes. I actually have three up in my school. You know, I don't just throw classes up. I spend a lot of time thinking about them, testing the recipes. When people, after they take a class, they get emailed recipes that are actually blog posts. So I photograph the steps. I write the article. I write the recipe. It's been tested. So, and then that's what we have done in class. So it's thoughtful and it takes a lot of work and I put a lot into it and I try to think of themes and whatnot that could run through the classes so that, you know, people get a lot of value out of it. So right. It takes a little time to develop the classes. So I've developed one called Weeknight Dinners from Around the World, and we make four dishes in four different flavor profiles. We make tacos, we make tortillas from scratch, and then we make tacos and all the fillings and stuff. And then we make an Asian stir fry, an Indian curry, and then an Italian pasta dish. Oh, so wow. We do all four of those dishes with the same vegetables, just depends on what's in season. And so it shows people, it's a great knife skills class because we do a lot of chopping of vegetables. And okay. So you get a lot of practice with knife skills. And then I do another.
Oh, I thought you said knife skills.
Knife.
Okay, got you. I didn't know what night, like, I was just thinking, like, night classes.
Friday the 13th.
Knife skills. Which is, Friday is?
Yeah, it's today.
Yeah, okay. Oh, it is today.
Today.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Good job.
So, and then the other one is an Indian food cooking class where we make curry and we make a fritter, we make a flatbread, we talk about the spices and how to blend spices. And then I'm doing a flavors of fall class and it'll be flavors of fall, flavors of winter, flavors of spring, all the seasons, right? So it's highlighting the vegetables and a certain specific kind of vegetable that is prevalent during that season, and then making a bunch of different dishes out of it. So with those flavor profiles of like that season.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a fun, I like all the menus are plant-based, so it's all going to be vegetarian or vegan. And I accommodate all kinds of dietary restrictions. So that's the way I have my classes designed. And I'm also coming out with a vegan dessert for the holidays, like a vegan dessert platter class where we're going to make four different kinds of vegan desserts. And then people get to take home a beautiful platter of yummy, delicious things. And just to put it in context, I know some people are, you know, have issues with vegan stuff, but all desserts are mostly vegetarian to begin with.
Yeah, right.
Like, so it's really not that much of a stretch.
Because I have issues with vegan.
And candy is vegan. Like, hard candy is usually vegan.
Right?
So it's not, like, that big of a deal, really.
Right.
And there's a lot of things you already eat that probably are vegan. You just don't think about it.
Right. All I think about is you fucking don't take away my meat.
Right, but there's no meat in dessert.
Yeah, right.
So it's okay.
So no problem.
It's not a big deal. Yeah.
Okay, so we have to be respectful of her time. She's been amazing.
Oh, thank you, Jeremy, for having me. This has been super fun.
Oh, you're perfect. So,
Can I talk about one more class I'm doing that I'm really excited about?
I was going to say, we can link up anything in the show notes that you want. Okay. So, be sure to.
Well, because the one that I'm really excited about is a farm to table class.
Okay.
It's being held at the farm where I get my vegetables. And it's a joint class with a CSA farmer. And it starts with a tour of the farm, and everybody gets to pick the vegetables and ask questions and see where the food is growing. And then we bring it back, we wash it, and then we make some delicious meals out of it. Same format as in the cooking school, but it's outdoors under the trees and the fresh air at the farm. And then we sit down and we eat all the food together. So it's a really beautiful class. If you want to learn more about where food comes from and get that hands-on experience with picking your own food and then cooking it and then eating it, straight from the dirt to your plate, you get to see it from start to finish.
How long does that take? Well, what's the...
That class is probably about 4 hours long.
Okay, got it. Yeah. So you need to carve out some time.
Yeah, so it's a day. So give yourself a day to really connect with your food and where it comes from and learn about some cooking.
All right, and we will have that linked up in the show notes.
Yes.
Perfect.
Awesome. Thank you so
much.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, Scheherazade.
This has been great.
Be sure to check out all her stuff and take her classes.
Oh, thanks, Jeremy.